The adults age 55 and over to the community, the Lorain County General Health District is launching the Buddy Connect pilot program for no cost. Sign up now to get monthly phone calls from a volunteer. An in-home visit is also available upon request. Call 440-567-4120 to sign up for the Buddy Connect program. If you want to volunteer, call that same number. Brought to you by the Lorain County General Health District.
When severe weather cuts across Lorain and Medina counties, depend on the radio station on the edge of the storm. Your official weather station, locally owned and locally responsive. AM 930 WEOL. WEOL weather.
So today a warm front, Tuesday a cold one. Clouds will increase throughout the day today. Southerly winds push temperatures towards 60. Rain develops late tonight with upper 40s. Morning rain Tuesday, gusty winds, temperatures falling from early highs in the upper 40s into the mid 40s. I'm meteorologist John Loftman for AM 930 WEOL.
Some clouds, some sunshine. It's 37.
8:37 AM 930 WEOL. Bruce Van Dyke and Matt Douglas here this morning. And some nice holiday music.
I like that.
Help me feel good with holiday music.
There you go.
There's always a point during December where I trim a tree watching a Cleveland Browns game. I was outside yesterday putting up inflatables while this was going on. Scott Petrak busy at the game yesterday. Joins us this morning. Follows the Browns for the Chronicle Telegram. You can also follow him at Scott Petrick or at BrownsZone.com. Good morning, Scott.
Hey, how are you guys?
All right, we're good. Sometimes I do have Christmas memories of Cleveland Browns with certain games. I remember when Damon was trimming the tree and Derek Alexander was going off on another. This is all the years.
It's a while back.
Yesterday I was waiting to see what would happen with Josh Gordon returning. He came back. I guess that's the best way to put it. Right?
Yeah, I mean, he looked good. He had four catches for 85 yards. Could have been more, but DeShone Kizer missed him on a few. It's good to see Josh back. Now the only question is, can he stay back? You know, he's had so many issues in the past. I'm not sure how much you can count on him, but when he's out there, you got to take advantage because he's one of the best players in the game.
You actually see what a receiver is supposed to look like when he's out there running and catching.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, that's been maybe the biggest weakness on the Browns all season and maybe the last couple seasons. And he just makes such a difference. And it's almost unfair because there's only maybe a handful of guys in the league with as much talent as he has at that position. So when he comes back, you compare everybody else to him, and it's night and day. But I think part of that's how good he is or how talented he is, and then part of it is how bad the rest of the Browns receiving core is outside of Corey Coleman. Corey Coleman can play in this league for any team. I'm not sure the rest of the guys on the receiving core can play for anybody else in the league.
Scott, you mentioned that Josh Gordon should add probably a few more yards, maybe even a touchdown in that game if DeShone Kizer ends up hitting on a couple more passes. But he had some moments of glory, it looked like, in that game. The touchdown pass to Njoku, there was a pass before that to Gordon where he threaded the needle, and then for whatever reason, he kind of is sporadic. Is that, I mean, you've been around the game long enough. Is that something you're seeing? Is he doing more of the on-target stuff, or is he getting a little more wild? What do we expect out of Kizer here?
Yeah, I don't think he's getting any more wild. And it's tough after a game like yesterday because I thought he was inaccurate in some obvious moments. Mm-hmm. And it's throwing to Josh Gordon. And they've not worked together much. Sure. They've never played in a game together. So I'm not sure how much to blame on a lack of timing from a lack of chemistry for some of those incompletions or just DeShone Kizer's natural inaccuracy. So if there's a chance that they get better in these last four games as a tandem and you see some of those turn into completions, because I thought Kizer had made strides with his accuracy up until now, not enough. You know, that's still my big concern. And I like the kid. I like him more than a lot of people do. But my one and the one big question is, will he ever be accurate enough? And I think you're going to see some really good throws and then some bad throws. And the key in this league is just to have, obviously, way more good throws than bad throws. And he hasn't gotten to that ratio yet. I still hold out hope. I think he works hard, and I think he's big and strong, and he makes enough plays with his leg. He just has to make better decisions and then be more accurate, and those are two giant things. But for a guy who's only played 11 games in the league, I still hold out hope that he'll figure it out.
Scott, I'm curious to get your take on the defense, too, of the Browns. It seems like it's been getting better on a week-to-week basis. Yesterday, they took on a Chargers offense. It's been decent this year. They held with 9 points in the first half, 19 points overall. Does the defense seem to be getting there? Is it the offense that's kind of lacking behind?
Well, the defense has been ahead all year, for sure. And it's made improvements over last year, without a doubt, especially in the run game. Having said that, you know, it's hard to tell for sure just which numbers are deceiving and which numbers aren't. I think the rushing yards per attempt, that's a legitimate stat. And they entered yesterday ranked second in the league. However, in points allowed, they were near the bottom of the league.
Yeah.
And in the red zone, they were the worst team in the league. Now, that was a difference yesterday. If they had their normal red zone defense from the first 11 games, they would have given up about 45. Yesterday. Instead, they gave up one touchdown and held them to 4 field goals, and that allows you to stay in the game. You see improvements, but you're not seeing enough big plays. They don't create enough turnovers. Even Myles Garrett isn't getting the quarterback quite as much as you'd like. I mean, he's got 5 sacks in 7 games. You'd like to see a bigger impact from your number one draft pick. Jamar Taylor, the cornerback, misses tackles. Jabril Peppers, before he got hurt yesterday, hasn't made any big plays at free safety. I think you see kind of baby steps, and a lot of that goes to coordinator Greg Williams, because I do think he has had an impact on that defense. But I don't see enough talent overall from that unit to say, yeah, I'm comfortable with them. I think you still need to upgrade, at, 4 or 5 spots.
We're talking to Scott Petrick of the Chronicle-Telegram. Chargers winning over the Browns 19-10. Before last hour, Matt made a statement. He said he thinks that the Browns team might be one of the worst teams that has ever been in the NFL.
Yeah,
he was trying to compare it to even like the Tampa Bay from the 70s or even the Detroit Lions team that did not win a game. We might have to resign ourselves to having no wins this season, it almost seems.
Well, I mean, the numbers support Matt there. No coach has ever started 1-27 with the team, so Hugh Jackson has that. No team has gone 4-45 over a 49-game stretch, and that's what the Browns are. So this is historically bad football. That's what we're watching. That's what we're dealing with. That's what owner Jimmy Haslam and D Haslam are going to have to look at when they decide if they're going to change coaching staffs, change front offices. That's the backdrop. As far as getting a win this season, 4 chances left. I think the next 3 games are quote-unquote winnable. Green Bay at home without Aaron Rodgers, although they won yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Baltimore at home, who, Baltimore's had played some clunkers this year, and then yesterday they played one of their best games of the season and might be playing their best football of the season. And then they go to Chicago on Christmas Eve, play another rookie quarterback. The Bears look like the same team as the Browns. So, to me, that might be the most winnable game of the 3. And then they finish at Pittsburgh. So, it'd just be nice to see them do it. I don't think you want the stigma of being the second 0-16 team ever. You can avoid that parade, which we can argue about whether that's a good idea or a bad idea, the winless parade. These guys, I think 0-16 would have a lasting effect on the organization as well. And people might argue 1-15 is bad enough. It is, but 0-16, I don't know how you live that down. I think it carries over to the next year. Even if they change the entire organization, the players coming back would be burdened with 0-16. So I think it'd be good for everybody involved if they finally got a win.
This is like the same conversation we had 1 year ago, because it was sort of the same circumstances where you're thinking
it's exactly
if you're if you're 0-16, that gets put somewhere. If you're 1-15, it just gets put on the pile and nobody ever looks at it again, unless you're just going through the past time. So there is some value to at least getting one win. So now it just tightens the screws a little bit as we figure out what we're going to do in these final 4 games. You mentioned the Packers. That's the one coming to home. What kind of fan are fans going to spend any of their December at First Energy Stadium?
Yeah, that's a tough one. They didn't. the crowds have been dwindling throughout the year, so I don't expect big crowds. And if the weather's poor, I think that would hurt crowds even more. But you can get cheap tickets, right, online. Yeah. You get cheap tickets. So if you've never seen a game, if you're kind of like the Packers, if you're interested in anything about the Packers, if you're looking for the Browns to avoid history, you know, it seems like a good time. It's a good value to go watch a Browns game in December when you're 0-12 because tickets are cheap.
Let me get that.
Traffic's not bad.
Let me get that as a Browns ticket selling item.
Yeah.
A good value to see a team if you like professional football, or at least one that's classified as professional football. Well, that's what did Hugh have to say after yesterday's game of any note that might be insight into where things are going forward?
Yeah, I think he acknowledged the pressure of only four games left to avoid the winless season. He gets that, you know, and of maybe perhaps of anybody in the organization, the record has taken its biggest toll on him. And we talked about this last year, he was in no danger of losing his job, really. I mean, it was his first season. You didn't expect him to get fired. And it still ate in him. And now, I mean, he talked about jumping in a lake multiple times. He said, we're not going to go 1-15 again. And he meant they were going to win more games, you know. And they're staring at 0-16, 1-15, whatever it is. And he knows that that record's going to stick with him. I don't know if he knows he's going to get fired or he thinks he's going to get fired. The way he talks, he doesn't talk like that. But regardless, there's no – Hugh Jackson will never be able to overcome this record. Even if he stays with the Browns and even if he wins Super Bowls, mm-hmm. you know, 2-30, you have to win forever to kind of flip that record. So I think of all the people inside the organization, he's the one that carries the losses the most. And it speaks to his personality that he's able to kind of take that on, and the team says he has the same energy every week. You know, you can say all kinds of stuff about Hugh Jackson, but I do think that's one of the good things is that he's been able to kind of swallow all these losses and still put on the face and still motivate these guys to play. Now, they haven't gotten it done on Sundays, and his clock management is questionable nearly every week. But, you know, it's just tough. It's tough, and he knows and he feels the pressure to finally win a game. And it'll be interesting to see if he can do it or not.
Well, most of us have an internal clock that probably just goes click, tick, tick. His probably goes bong, bong, bong as the bells are tolling and the weight of it. But maybe there's something about a personality. If things can turn around, he'll have been the right man for the job or as it is. But we'll see what happens. Again, Packers next week, and then the Ravens, then the Bears, and the Steelers. That's the way the month of December runs out for the Browns. Scott, we appreciate your time this morning. We'll talk again next Monday.
Thanks, guys.
Scott Petrek of the Chronicle-Telegram. You can follow him at Scott Petrek or read him in the CT, also with the BrownsZone.com.
Mm-hmm.
You're smiling there.
My thought is, you know, coaches say never look ahead, never look ahead. The Browns need to look ahead to the Bears because, to me, that's their winnable game this year. That's a team that just lost to the 49ers.
Yes,
they run the ball.
They have Trubisky, right?
But he doesn't throw. John Fox has been running the ball all season. You just heard the stats on the Browns' run
team. You don't
think
a guy who would have been possibly drafted by the Browns playing that team has a –
He's from Mentor.
One of those chips
that's
on his
other
shoulders
big
that
thing,
might
yeah.
think this would be an opportunity.
I think he would, but if he doesn't have the opportunity to throw the ball, it doesn't make much difference. I mean, to me, that's their win. Plus, the one bright spot, Hugh Jackson's undefeated.
It is on Christmas Eve, by the way.
Browns are undefeated on Christmas Eve. That's the one bright spot you have. They play well on Christmas Eve.
There you go. That comes around, what, once a year?
Yep.
Why can't it be Christmas Eve all year long?
You wish it could if you're a Browns fan.
850 at WEOL.
Watch your step. The winter season can create tripping hazards, especially for older adults. Be sure holiday decorations are neatly and securely hung so they're out of walkways. Also, dry off wet shoes and walkers after coming in from the snow. Remember, wet shoes are just as dangerous as wet floors. Keep safe this winter season. Find more tips at steadyu.ohio.gov. A message from the Lorain County General Health District, working together for the health of us all.
Hey, Columbus, march with us at Nationwide Arena when the Blue Jackets face the New Jersey Devils on Tuesday night, December 5th, and the Arizona Coyotes on Saturday night, December 9th. Both games start at 7 p.m. Visit us at BlueJackets.com or download the official CBJ app to secure your seats now.
Every Thursday evening at 6, join WEOL's Tim Alcorn and Sean Bennett from the Chronicle Telegram for the Cobos Insurance Center High School Wrestling Show, presented by Century 21 Deanna Realty. That's Thursdays at 6 on AM 930 WEOL and WEOL.com.
The following is a test of the emergency alert system on the news station, WEOL.